I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah. Not in the same way. It's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
Listen, listening to Synchronon. Sick and Ron. Yes, you listen to Sick and Ron.
The Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary.
God, what a bunch of scumbags.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm one of your hosts, E. Simon.
Hi, I'm Kate Rambo. Hiya.
Kate Rambo.
Yes?
Now that you live in Tinseltown,
uh-huh.
Have you ever thought about pursuing an acting career?
No.
It's not even, so before you moved here, you didn't even think about it.
Like, I've done drama in the past in school and shit, but I like a behind the scenes stuff. I've always wanted, my dream job actually is to be like a grip or to do like craft services.
Well, that's something you could do here.
Yeah.
See, I would want to do craft services.
Why not? You just like taking fucking, you know, the documentary that inspired me to like actually want to be behind the scenes the most was From Dusk Till Dawn. I had that on DVD. I had the special free box edition of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Do you really like that movie?
Yeah. The second one and the third one's trash, but Bruce Campbell's in the third one for 2 minutes.
I don't think I've ever seen the third.
It's
is it the same premise?
Exactly.
Like in Mexico?
Yeah.
At a bar?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Everything you would, but imagine it's shitter.
Does Tarantino have anything to do with it?
No.
No.
No. Right. I do think Robert Rodriguez directs the second one, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, did Tarantino write it? He didn't direct it, did he?
No, he wrote it and
Rodriguez
he gave
directed it
to like his cousin to start his career.
Oh, who directed the first one then?
Robert Rodriguez, his cousin.
Yeah, Rodriguez. Okay, yeah.
But anyways... So on that, there's like a 40-minute documentary. It's probably on YouTube now where it's about the making of. And you meet everyone who does all the behind-the-scenes work. And it's just like such a fun, like, this is how much fun we have making movies. Uh-huh.
And I think it's pretty intense, though.
It's very intense.
Like, you got to work crazy long hours.
Oh, yeah. But it is like, it's fun.
It's rewarding.
Yeah.
I can see that. But I don't think you make that much money. Being on the...
grip.
Yeah. On the grip, I think you can make decent money on the grip because unionized. But I think being on like catering, you don't make as much money.
Grip is like my ultimate job if somebody said, do I want to do it? Because like partly I don't really know what a grip does, but inside my mind, I think I know what a grip does and I could do it.
Yeah. I know. See? It's unionized. So when I moved here, I was... first of all, I moved here to be with my... ex-girlfriend, and it only lasts a year, and so I was friends with her friends, but as soon as we broke up, I didn't really have many friends down here. Like Lenora, I think, was my only friend at the time. I knew a couple people. Ryan Keeley, I knew her because she lived next door.
I still have no friends here apart from you. I have your adjacent friends.
No, you have friends.
Lovely.
You're making friends at work.
Actually, that's not true. Yeah. Because I have friends I know from the
and
internet.
You have other friends that live here, yeah. But yeah. At the time, I didn't really know many people. So I was thinking what would be kind of cool is to be an extra in a horror film.
Would love
and
to do
you'd
that.
Meet, yeah, you'd meet mm-hmm. other people. And so I think I got the idea from going to Monsterpalooza, the horror convention. And then they were talking about like, oh, yeah, dude, they're always looking for extras. You just need a headshot. And so I asked Lenora, I was like, so what, do you just need a headshot? She's like, yeah, you know, you can just get the headshots done and then you go to different casting directors. And back then, like this is 2010, Craigslist was like, bring a headshot, looking for talent. Such a scam.
Oh, of course.
It's such a scam. But at the time I was like, okay. And so I contacted one. She's like, you need headshots. So I asked Lenora about it. And she's like, yeah, you can get a headshot from my friend. So she had a friend in West Hollywood, this like super gay dude. And that was his thing. He's a photographer, but he specialized in headshots. So I went over there to, he had a home studio. And so I went over there and I was like, all right, what do I do? I just, when I get, and he's like, all right, you have tattoos. And I was like, well, yeah, I got a few. He's just like, we're going to need to see more.
I was like, take off those pants, honey.
I was like, but don't tattoos kind of, you don't want a lot of visible tattoos, in your headshot. Because, you want your face. It's like, I don't want people to think, like, typecast me for a role. Like,
I'm get that dick out. We need to see
it. Well, that was the funny thing. He took a bunch of pictures of my, just my face, of just kind of like smiling. And then he's like, I really want to see some more of the tattoos. Can you take your shirt off? And I was like, I thought this was like a headshot, not a body thing. Like, I thought you just wanted to see my head. You know, I thought that's why they call it a headshot. And he's like, and he was like, yeah, but I think if we just showed you a little more of your shoulders. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Like, it was just, oh, you just shot him down.
No, I was like, I'm not going to take my shirt off. It's just a headshot. I just want two headshots. He's like, okay. And so he's taking some more pictures and he's like, maybe if you took your shirt off. he kept bringing it up like three or four times. I was like, I'm just going to level with you. I'm not taking my shirt off.
I would have loved it if you just started slowly unbuttoning your cowboy shirt as like a single tear just ran down your face as you got me too'd by this guy.
Well, he had this black couch over in the corner and it was just like a lot of career started there.
Why didn't you get on the black couch? You'll feel more comfortable with your shirt off.
If I can find my headshots, I never use them.
I want to see them. I'm imagining like... I imagine they look like the Bruce Campbell headshots.
They're not good. And they didn't help me land a role as an extra in a horror film.
Did he not? I always wanted to do the headshots where it's like, you know, you get where you get five pictures in one picture, right? You know, it's like a little collage. That's the classic way to do it.
No,
it'll be like four. One of them's just you normally. Like, here's me normal. But then here's the next shot of me and I've got glasses on. Because I can play somebody with a glasses on.
Five different photos, not collage of the same.
Yeah, no, it's five different photos.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And then, that's what we did.
Yeah.
I think I have three different.
So what was your outfits? Were you a cowboy? Were you a scientist?
No, they're very normal. Like one, I think I was just wearing a black tee. And then another one, I was wearing like a cowboy shirt. No, that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. It still cost like $100. And so I got my headshots done and I went to this old casting director lady in Hollywood. And she even still smoked in her office and her desk was just covered in headshots and resumes and like acting, I don't know, certificates or whatever it was. And so I go in there. She's like, all right, I can see you being a tough guy in a boss scene. That's how she talked. And she's like sitting there smoking, like, leave your headshot, honey. I'll give you a call.
I
never heard back. It was just, I think what the Craigslist ones are, like you pay somebody to like help you get roles.
And they just don't.
And it just never pans out. But I mean, it's a tough gig. It's hard.
People think being an extra is also really easy. And I know it's fucking shit.
Well, I'm just saying it's a tough gig to make it as an actor.
Yeah, any type of like acting is hard.
A lot of it, you know, a lot of it is nepotism. You know, a lot of it's who you know. Sometimes people do get a break. I think that's seldom. And then there's like people like the guy that we're about to interview on the show this week, who just grows bitter because he's tried so hard to make it as an actor or director, and it just never pans out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just are just a bitter, like, L.A., you know, local legend.
Yeah.
Like, Angeline, we had her on the show. Angeline's, I wouldn't say she's bitter.
No, Angeline is definitely, wacky, but she's not bitter. Angeline knows her role and who she is, and she plays it perfectly.
But, you know, I'm sure she would have loved to have more success. Be a famous movie star, but I don't think she's bitter about it.
But I mean, Angeline has a telly series after her now. Like, what more could she want?
Is there? There's a telly series.
Didn't
currently?
They make a telly series about Angeline? I thought it was like a documentary. Yeah, whatever. Angeline has a fucking documentary all about her.
But that's the thing. I think there's a lot of, and you see this around LA, just these like characters, that have just been here for a long time. Whether they're like punk rock musicians, failed actors.
The Lava Lady was my favorite.
Indie directors. Which one?
So the Lava Lady lived somewhere on Fairfax and she had a black house. She imported lava rocks from Hawaii and she had like a huge wall. And she was married to an artist. Everyone in LA and people who are into like different subcultures know who I'm talking about. But she would walk out in huge platforms. She was a tiny lady, shorter than me. And she had... huge platforms, and she would wear long black or red dresses, and then she had a huge fucking like stovepipe hat, and she would walk. She would just walk Melrose and Fairfax all day in every manner of heat.
I don't think I've ever seen her. When did she die?
She died like, 2017-ish. But I don't think I ever saw her living here then, too. Maybe even before that, maybe 2007. But if you type in, like, the Lava Lady LA, like, she comes right up.
But anyway, this city has no shortage of weirdos.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Just, like, eccentric characters. And so the guy that we're going to interview today is an actor, indie director, and definitely more or less a local Hollywood legend. His name's Dennis Woodruff. He's an indie filmmaker. He's made about 28 movies, so he claims, and 3 television programs. The guy drives around in these cars that he's decorated to promote his acting career and promote himself. He's kind of known about that. He's known for his self-promotion of his services as an actor through his cars.
As much as he tries to downplay it, he's famous for his cars.
They're called art cars. And I got to say, they're unsightly. It's just like this dude like pasted all different kinds of knickknacks. He painted his name on it and his face on it. And he drives all over, still does this to this day, drives all over because I think he feels that he's going to be discovered this way.
Well, to give him a little bit of kudos, he has been discovered this way. Because you wouldn't be talking about Dennis Woodruff unless it wasn't
for those
he's cars.
Made a name for himself as a local Hollywood legend. Mm-hmm. And he's done a bunch of movies. I mean, he's done quite a few movies. But you can tell, and during this very difficult interview that we did, you could tell he's just bitter. You could tell by his tone of voice, his animosity towards like Netflix.
He particularly hates Netflix.
Yeah.
As if like what Warner Brothers and Paramount went screwing over actors for like 100 years by now.
But there's a lot of people like this that blame everyone but themselves for not making it. It's like me bitching about podcasting.
Yeah. But at least you're more self-aware. And I've also got to say, I was very quiet during this interview because I only first learned about Dennis Woodruff like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Well, you're the one who pushed this interview. You brought this interview to me.
I was like, let's interview this guy because we have a lot of like LA legends on. Well, we've had Angelina on. If I'd have known how difficult this man was going to be, I never would have looked at his website or done anything because this man, you know, it's always a gamble when you give somebody your phone number, but never have I had my number abused in such a way. And never have I had to hold the hand, metaphorically, of a man in such a manner who was also yelling at me every single day for a week.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The guy's a Luddite. Doesn't know much about even how Zoom works. I don't even know how. There's no way he has an iPhone. He's got to have a flip phone.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. You can not know how
Zoom
works.
He's an older dude. He's got to be, what, 60s? Probably
older, but like, you know, I put it that we've
no, I'd say he's in his 60s.
John Steele knows how to fucking call into Zoom. Well, an Icelandic woman who's in her 90s who talks to gnomes knows how to call into Zoom to reach the show. And you know what? Like, if John Steele can't reach into the show, he's not ringing me 10 times a day to call me a moron and to then like just do it over. Like, I had to speak to Dennis every single fucking day for a week.
Yeah,
like,
thankfully, I don't want to speak. Thankfully, you did not give him my number.
I'm very glad I didn't give him your
but
number.
But he's a bit really of a did. He had a bit of a touch of the misogyny about him.
Huge.
Whereas
he does not like women.
He refused to talk to you, but he would talk to me.
And
but he was getting upset
different.
With me too.
I know, but his tone was different with you.
Kind of. I mean, you're still an asshole to both of us. But anyway, you know, I think he had an interview with Vice Magazine. I think the reason he kind of has any kind of notoriety is because his fame, you know, most of his fame has been derived from his lack of success in the industry and his bitterness about it. And you'll see why. Oh, yeah. We get into it. He claims that he sells physical copies, like DVDs, from the trunk of his art cars.
I think he does, yeah.
Yeah, but he says he makes over $100,000 annually.
He said, is that on his website? On his website, he makes over $100,000
annually.
From just selling DVDs?
There's
maybe
no way.
Maybe it's DVDs of his fucking
I mean, tier. He might have made $100,000 off of one movie, but I'd be very surprised with that. But yeah, I guess in the hierarchy of difficult interviews, this was definitely towards the top. I almost cut it. Almost just was like, didn't want to deal with the guy.
Yes, because he had been difficult all week, and you've had to listen to me complain about
him. Well, I didn't even want to interview him, but we had this week, one of Kate's friends was in town, so we had a lot going on. So I figured, hey, you might as well get an interview. And so then you found this guy, and I was like, I thought
he was going to be fun. Well, I had never heard of him,
but he's like a local LA, kind of weirdo. And we've had a bunch of LA people. We've had Angeline, we've had Ron Jeremy. We've had Patty Negri. She was awesome.
How awesome was Jimmy Genocide? He was so fucking cool.
That guy was super cool.
Yeah. So
I guess you haven't dealt with as many difficult interviews as I have.
You're very good at talking to the absolute wackos. You have the patience for it. But also, Dee, I've had to talk to this man every day for a week. Every day for at least
half an
hour.
That's why I was going to tell him to eat a dick because he was annoying me. Yeah. And I'm going to play the 30-minute outtake of us of me trying to explain to him how to use Zoom. And not even on his computer, how to call into Zoom. And he's getting so angry.
Yes. And he's blaming
at one point I was just like, "Dennis, we're going to abort this whole thing. And we're going to abort it like a redheaded stepchild. Like, I don't even want to deal with this." And then his tone changed.
He was upset.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, okay, no, I'll figure it out." I was like, "All right, it's a 3-step process." But it's like a 30-minute outtake, which I'm going to post to Patreon because I don't really want to play it here. But yeah, I've dealt with some interviews that have been, I would say, on the difficult side. Ron Jeremy, one of the hardest people to interview.
Is he still the worst? Was he the hardest?
I don't know who the worst was. Who was a tough one? The vaccine police guy that drinks his urine.
Oh, yeah. I skipped that one because it was not up. I can't be doing with a conspiracy.
But, I had Bob Hickman on, the guy who got into his body as a body the same size.
He was
full-on schizophrenic dude. He was able to call into Zoom without a problem.
Exactly.
Raga, the Icelandic witch, you can see elves. She's like a 90-year-old lady. She was able to call into Zoom.
Without a problem. And also, I must add, without calling either of us a moron or an idiot.
Yeah, multiple times. And we had porn director Max Hardcore, infamous porn director. That guy was cooler than this dude.
Rest in peace, Max Hardcore. I actually think we were the last interview with Max Hardcore.
Well, we must have been one of the last ones, yeah. But anyway, we've interviewed quite a few difficult characters here on the show. I would say Dennis Woodruff is towards the top. So I was going to cut it, but then I thought, I was going through and listening to it, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to play this because it's hilarious.
You have your moments with Dennis.
I don't want to say anything. Yeah. So before we get to this a wretched interview with Dennis Woodruff, let's chat about the audio equivalent of Harvey Weinstein's casting couch. The Sick and Wrong Patron. So people, if you listen to the show every week and you love what Kate and I do here, then all we ask is for you to sign up for Patreon or Apple Podcasts. Give us a couple bucks and support the show. You're the ones keeping the show going. It's only $5 a month. That's all we're asking. $5 a month. You get access to Sick and Wrong on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. And then you get to listen to the second show every week. We do a whole second show. It's a lot more personal, quite a bit more saucy. This week, we had Kate's friend Poppy, who is
from
in town.
New York.
Yeah, dishing some dirt on some celebrities that come in. Well, she works at a very posh restaurant, and there's a lot of celebs that come through there. And it's funny, some of them are dicks.
She's told me the stories about Michael Shannon a lot, and it's still not put me off Michael Shannon.
Well, she tells the stories about Michael Shannon plus quite a few others. Then we kind of do a little recap of what we got up to this weekend. It was definitely a very debaucherous weekend.
Yeah, I'm ready for a detox and to be pure again. Maybe I'll go to church with Dennis on Sunday.
Yeah. But you definitely want to listen to this week's second show. Kate and Pompey got into a bar fight with a drunken slag three clubs.
Yeah,
but she got scratched. She got your hair pulled.
Super scratched. Yeah, and she pulled my hair, but it was fine.
So anyway, all that and more on Sick and Wrong's second show this week. $5 a month, that's it. And you don't even have to sign up for Patreon. You just go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the second show that way. A couple different ways to support us. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. So let me play this quick promo, and then let's chat with actor-director Dennis Woodruff about how to make it in Hollywood. Hey, Sick and Wrong listeners. If you're not currently a Sick and Wrong patron, you might be missing out on special moments like this one.
There's a question for you. Who do you think had the sexier uterus, Diana or Kate? I feel like Kate's pussy would be a little neater than Diana's. There's just something, I don't know, like sloppy about Princess Diana's vagina in my mind.
I know this might sound controversial, but Queen Elizabeth.
When she was hot or when she was old?
No, like 2 years ago.
What about the Queen Mum, mate? She was pickled in gin, so she's probably had a right good bashing at her vagina.
I try not to think of her uterus. Because how often do you think Philip fucked the Queen?
Probably when he was hammered enough.
Yeah, but I mean, in recent years, she probably ain't gotten laid in like, what, 2 decades?
Maybe.
3 decades? She was old.
You're also forgetting the Queen was a busy woman. She was always jetting about. I bet they probably spent maybe 10 days together and it would be very, very, Philip, I'm exhausted. And then he would make like a racist remark and she would giggle and fall asleep.
Well, I don't know. You can
like our relationship.
You can call in and tell us whose vagina you'd rather see.
For only $5 a month, you can enjoy these special moments. A bonus news story, extra phone calls, and an hour's worth of outtakes every week at patreon.com/sickandwrong. Sign up today, support the show, and keep it sick and wrong. But don't you ever
think of me. Dennis, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hooking this up wasn't easy, but let's go forward.
It was a trial, but you did it, and I'm glad to have you on the show. So let's talk about acting. You're an actor. How long have you been acting?
Well, I got the bug for acting when I was in junior college 25 years ago. I took some classes, and then I made my way to Hollywood through a friend. And I took some more classes at UCLA eventually, and UMass Boston, and also Orange Coast College. I got an AA degree, plus I took two private classes in LA, one from Charles Conrad, and one at Hollywood High School night school. So that's where I'm at. I did do my homework as far as, and I did some plays too.
It's a difficult career. Why would you choose acting?
I was more in love because when I was a kid, like 9 years old, I met John Wayne. I went to his house.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote a letter to him, and he liked me, and he wanted to put me in a movie. And I thought, oh, this is easy. I'm 9 years old. My mom wouldn't let me. She said, why are you going to his house and bothering him? She didn't see the purity of how I pulled this off, which is very unusual. And I think I would have been in the last, John Wayne movie if it would have happened.
Well, did you just show up at his house?
And that sticks with you when you're a little kid, you know?
It certainly does. So did you just show up at his house? Like, how'd you meet him?
Well, the kids in the neighborhood used to paint addresses on curbs. So I started doing that. I thought this is a clever way of having a reason to knock on the door. So I painted the address on the curb and I knocked on the door. And his lady friend answered, and I said, I painted the address on the curb, and he came out to see the curb. And that was my reason for meeting him. And then I wrote a letter after that, but he liked it, and he gave me $20. So I didn't throw it all at him at the first meeting.
Nice. So then,
and then I also went out of my way many times after that to send letters and go to other people's houses to meet them, not as a stalker, but with a sincere effort to be in their movies, like the guy that did Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock, he answered the door. A lot of famous people. I met a lot of people that way.
Who did you meet? Like, so you met Alfred Hitchcock? Did he ever put you in a movie?
No, he never did. Most of them, they don't give a shit.
I wonder why that
is. They listen to you. They're polite. They answer the phone, the door. They take your picture and resume, and that's the last you hear of them.
So do you ever audition for any of their movies?
Not them. I've auditioned. I've had an agent. It doesn't work. I mean, it's a system.
It is a system. I think it's like who you know. Yeah, so what movies have you been in?
Are you interviewing me, or is she?
Well, she's here, too.
We're both far. I'm listening to you,
she's
Dennis.
My co-host.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're both together.
So I got discouraged with the way Hollywood is, and I got the car idea of advertising myself with my car actor looking for work and my pictures. And I thought, well, this is a clever way. At least people know what I'm doing and, you know, be out front with them. And I met people like Sylvester Stallone and 100 other people. And I started selling my first movie and I did really well. And I started selling on VHS, making a living at it, and then eventually sold almost $100,000 on DVD, all from Pasadena to Malibu.
And you would just drive around selling your movies out of the trunk of your car, right?
Well, out of the trunk of my car. That's where I kept them. But when I'd arrive at a coffee shop or a restaurant or a public place, I'd park my car and I'd get out and I'd go over to them when they're eating dinner or whatever.
So who did you approach? It sounds like, what was the reaction? Like when you walked up to Stallone?
Over 1,000 people. You want me to sit here and name 1,000 people? I can't remember them all.
Tell me the ones that were memorable. Like, did you ever like approach
any?
Let's
not worry about how many famous people. I met most of them, okay?
Okay.
Okay,
I'm
but
not
going
to sit here and name every person I met.
Yeah, but how did they respond to this guy walking off the street while they're eating, giving him a movie? Like, were they like, thank you?
They thought it was pretty clever. They thought it was pretty clever and pretty original.
So how did it work out for you? Did you ever get discovered?
I sold over 100,000 copies.
Okay, that's great. And which movie? Was it Spaceman or Spaceman Returns?
No, the first one I made in the trailer park was Dennis Woodruff, the movie. And basically, I was getting a lot of interviews and stuff because of this car riding around. And so I pieced it all together with my neighbor, and we made a little movie about me. And I started selling it as Dennis Woodruff, the movie, and people thought it was genius. They thought it was clever. But nothing legitimately big came from it. However, long story short, I really did get some offers, but I didn't take them. I got 30,000, 10,000 offers, all kinds of stuff.
Why didn't you take the offers?
What I want to say is, I want to say that Netflix has ruined everything for independent filmmakers, actors, directors. And when you do get in, they don't pay you anything. I'm taking them out on the carpet. Netflix ruined the industry for people like me.
Well, how so?
Ruined because it. You can't make a living because of them. They are terrible. They're evil people. And I don't care if I have to take the blunt of it. They've ruined it for all the little stores, mom and pop stores from here to England. Now they can't sell their movies. They put people out of business, even Blockbuster Video.
They did. They put all the small independent video stores out because now people just stream them at home. Mm-hmm. But why don't you just put your movies online and stream them?
They ruined the whole industry. Do you understand that? Because of greed.
Well, can you explain how they ruined it? I mean, they have, like, there's thousands,
they
tens of thousands
it
of people
they
that watch.
They did it their way, and they got and people couldn't make a living with their stores, so they closed down.
Okay,
even
so you're
Video,
saying video
well, a
stores.
A great corporation went out of business.
Okay, but that's a video store.
It's a cheaper and easier way. What's your question?
Well, my question is, how did they ruin it? Because there's lots of people who write movies for Netflix. They write series. They make a lot of money.
They make movies. The upper end, they get paid for big money, the famous ones. But the little people don't get it. And even when they do get a deal, they never make any money. I've talked to people that have made like $10 for the whole year.
So have you ever tried to sell them any of your back catalog?
Listen,
you
don't
have 28
tell
movies.
Me as if you know, because you haven't gone through what I have. You don't know. You're giving my opinion.
I'm just asking you about it to explain a little further. So have you ever approached Netflix and tried to sell some of your back catalog to them?
Yeah, we approached them, me and my friend, and they turned us down. They turn everybody down. And they abuse you if you do. You don't even get a decent meeting with them. And they say, here's their biggest thing. Oh, well, we only deal with people we know. They only deal with the big shots. The studios don't really know what's going on.
So what about your agent? Was he able to...
I'm not going to be totally negative in this interview.
No, I get it. I do know they have shattered the industry, though. They've completely changed it. Put it upside down on its head.
They've ruined people's lives and businesses.
I never really had much of a love for Blockbuster, but I did like the independent video stores.
Yeah.
And I miss that.
Blockbuster
I miss being
was
able
a
to
wonderful
go.
Thing.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
It was
fan.
A wonderful thing.
But it was nice.
No,
that
it was a wonderful thing.
I went,
you went
to the
in there,
Blockbuster.
You could look around. You
good.
Could. Okay, what's the next question?
All right, next question. You had a movie called Obsession, Letters to David Lynch. What was that about? Did you work with David
Lynch?
Yeah,
one of 27 of my movies. I think I paid my dues.
So with that movie, though, did you, was David Lynch in the film?
27 movies, cartoons, and TV shows. Go ahead. What's your question?
My question was David Lynch in the film. Like, how did you
no,
know
he
him?
Wasn't. A friend of mine is an actor and played him in the movie.
And was it a true story? Like, did you write letters to David Lynch?
No, it's made up. After I got a part in one of his movies, and me and five other people got cut out, so I thought, well, how could I impress him and maybe get another shot at it? After he wrote my agent a letter, he said how good a job that they had to shorten the film, like they do. And it worked out that I made this movie about an obsessed fan who's an actor who wanted to be in all his movies. And I thought it was a pretty genius, clever idea. And it can't, you haven't, the problem is you probably haven't watched one of my movies.
I watched a little bit of Spaceman Returns today.
Okay. Wow.
I saw it on
out
YouTube.
Out of 27 movies. Thank you.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of that. Okay. I saw an interview with you on Vice.
How about the girl? Like a, how about the woman that I'm talking to?
The woman, I think, did watch the interview on Vice.
I watched the Vice interview, yes, Dennis.
Yeah. But, I mean, we had a couple days to prepare for it. But I haven't watched your entire catalog.
Well, I'm just saying, if you did your homework, you would know more about me.
Now, well, you're telling yourself to an audience of people who don't know you.
Yeah, we're trying to present you to the world, Dennis, through our
that's
podcast.
Cool. Basically, what I want to say is if they Google Dennis Woodruff, all kinds of stuff will, because we've been putting all my stuff up for 5 years and making stuff. And I'm all over YouTube, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on MySpace, and I'm on
MySpace,
Instagram, Dennis Woodruff Movies, and I'm on YouTube, I said, and Twitter, and I have interviews and pictures, photo gallery, and all kinds of stuff. I have DennisWoodruff.com. And I also have DennisWoodruffShow.com.
Well, we'll definitely have to check that out. And we'll plug the website at the end.
Well, so, I'm more interested in having the people that are listening to check it out, to Google Dennis Woodruff to see what and I'm really upset because there's a lot of people that see me riding around. And in a way, people are a bit superficial, some of them. They say, oh, I've seen you around for years, and I've seen you with your art cars and all that. I said, did you see what it said? Oh, I didn't really read it. Have you ever seen one of my movies? No. So I'm dealing with people who really don't care about independent films. And nor do they know what a struggle it is to get a chance in the business.
It is difficult.
It's very difficult, my friend.
It is difficult.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way.
I mean, I think some... Do you ever put your films in festivals?
I think every studio... I think, if you'll let me say it, I think every studio should have an office on the lot and have people come in and show their stuff.
Well, I think you could submit
your
stuff.
One thing I would say is Ron Meyer, who was the president of Universal for 25 years, and before that started CAA, I had a relationship, a friendship with him over the years, and he told me how talented I was. Contractually, he couldn't give me a break because he can't do favors for people, but he told me, until he left Universal, to keep trying and maybe somebody would give me a break. Go ahead. What's the next question? Say whatever you want.
My question to you is, do you ever enter your movies into any festivals? Because that's a way a lot of indie filmmakers get noticed.
Yeah, but it's not a good way to do it. Because basically, it's not meant for you to even get a chance. And even if you do get a chance and fly halfway around the world with a room full of people, there's no distributors there.
Yeah, but you might get noticed by
somebody. You're wasting
your
time.
Immediate
attention. That's all bullshit. Film festivals is a ripoff. It's just meant to have people fly there and stay in hotels, eat the food, and go, look at me, I'm at a film festival.
Well, okay, I guess that's one way to look at it. What about, like, uploading your videos?
No, it's the true way to look at it. You don't know until you go. And the money they make, which is thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of people who spend money to enter, you never get that money back. They pocket that money. It's an enterprise that's designed to steal people's money and give them no chances.
Well, in this day and age, do you ever use the internet?
I don't mean to be negative. I'm just being honest. I really wish there were positive things I could tell you.
You sound bitter, Dennis. You sound a little bitter.
No, I'm not bitter. I'm just trying to get my story across.
Well, I'm just giving you some suggestions
here. I'm not bitter at all. I love what I do. And people say I'm a genius. I'm very talented. And I taught myself everything. I know how to direct, act, produce.
Well, it sounds like maybe your movies just haven't been seen. So have you ever, like, promoted? That's one vehicle is the internet. A lot of people upload them to, like, social media. You never know what might go viral.
You didn't see the one that she just talked about with 227,000 views?
Yeah, the Vice magazine interview. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but you didn't see the number, 227,000 views.
Yeah, that's good. But I mean, to go viral, you got to have over 1 million. Believe me, I know this.
I don't want viral. What good is that?
That's the thing. It gets attention and exposure to your videos.
There's billions of people in the world. What good is being viral?
So you get attention to your movies. I mean, you want to be discovered, don't you? You want to be successful. You want to be appreciated. That's the thing. You got to shove it up a flagpole and see who salutes it.
I am. You're limiting me to think I'm not appreciated and not well-known. I'm known all over the world. I've been in magazines, TV shows, books. I'm a famous guy. You don't realize that. It's just I'm not rich and I'm not getting offers for big-budget movies because generally those doors are hard to walk through unless you know someone.
Dennis, what would be your dream role in a big production movie? What would be your dream role? Would you be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger hero type?
No, get that out of your mind. I'm not trying to get the lead role. I think I'd be good maybe, though, as the Joker.
Yeah?
It's a good role.
That would be a great role.
It is a good role.
But I'm not trying to get a lead role, but I could do one. And as far as your fantasy idea of what's my ideal role, it's not, there's an old saying, it's not the role, it's what you do with it. And it's not the size of the role. You could take five lines and turn it into something fantastic.
Absolutely.
But you have to have a fair chance. And also, I want to say, the casting directing system of the business is horrible.
Yes.
It's horrible.
Why is it so horrible?
Because they don't know, they don't do things the right way and they don't play fair. And they don't tell the director. They mostly they bring in people that they know that they work with their certain agencies and nobody gets a fair chance. I know Quentin Tarantino, I've never been able to try out for his movies. And he loves my movies. And the casting director won't have me come in. Because she said, oh, well, he didn't request you, which is bullshit. Whatever. You get lost in the shuffle, my friend.
It is difficult. But, I mean, I guess that's the thing. You just never give up, and you keep doing it. What other famous actors have you worked with?
It's not a matter of never give up. It's not like you're a masochist, and you want to get beat up by people, and you enjoy it. I say it better. If I come to you and you own the Dodgers and I say, sir, I'd like to suit up and show you I can hit home runs for your team. And if I can show you that, will you give me a chance? And you say, no, I don't have time for you. Just get out of here. You're a loser. That's how you're treated in the industry. Nobody gives you a fair chance.
But aren't you supposed to get representation and they get you an opportunity to try out for the movie?
It's not that easy. I sent out hundreds of postcards, and they throw them in the trash. And most of them, they already have a full cast being represented, And they even told me at CAA and different places that they're friends of friends, or they're the top industry professionals, not the people trying to get in.
Well, what about your agent? Can you know, he help you out?
Your perspective is not the way it really is. Your perspective, you don't really realize because you haven't gone through everything that I have.
No, I definitely haven't. I'm trying to learn a bit more about it. But I've always heard you get an agent and the agent gets you roles.
Oh, well, that's easier said than done. See, everything you think you know, you don't know. And I feel really bad because a lot of people, 100,000 I've met, come to Hollywood with sincere, you know, track record of plays and acting school and all that, which isn't cheap nowadays. And then they end up getting nothing and borrow all the money they can and give up on their dream and go home. That's the reality.
That is reality.
That's it. It's over.
Well, I have a question. You've been in the industry for quite some time. At least trying to get different.
30 years. Over 30 years participating.
Have you ever encountered any of the pedophile rings of Hollywood? I've heard about this.
Absolutely not.
So is that a lie? Is that not true?
Why would I know about that? Why would I know about that? I don't hang out with the P. Diddy crowd.
Yeah, that guy probably is a part of it. But I'm just wondering, is there like an elite pedophile ring? So
that's,
do you think it's true?
Absolutely true. And I don't go to big Hollywood parties where they're snorting cocaine and doing heroin and all this shit and ecstasy. That's not my crowd. I don't want to be, and I don't even want to go to the Academy Awards.
But I wonder if that's the scene.
Why do I want to go there? It's all
But it's about networking, dude. I wonder if that's what you, I think you might have to go to these pedophile parties.
See, that's the problem with you, my friend. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You have a very twisted idea of what Hollywood is really like. I could tell you the true Hollywood that I'm telling you, but you don't want to listen. You've kind of thought in your mind that you have it a different way. I would tell you, my grandfather built the Hollywood sign in Hollywoodland. He owned the whole hill. So don't tell me that like I don't know about Hollywood.
How come your grandfather couldn't get you a better role?
And my grandfather, S.H. Woodruff, told me, get out of Hollywood. Don't go there. My mom took me to Newport Beach, and we didn't like Hollywood. My dad committed suicide. And he said, Hollywood is a terrible place, and most people, you'll be a failure. Don't do it.
Well, I mean, I think not everybody can succeed. I mean, that's obvious. But my question is, don't you have to network with these people to get parts? Like, you might have to go to these pedophile parties.
I met hundreds and hundreds of people that really like me. What do I need to do?
Does Mel Gibson like you?
Have you met Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson. Have you met him?
No, that's one I really would like to meet, but I never really want to. You know, I don't always go to people's door. You know, I know where he lives. He was right across the street at, what's the guy that did Titanic?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, James Cameron.
The
James
director.
Cameron.
James yeah, Cameron. It was over at... He bought one of my movies and went to his house. And the guy you're talking about lives right across the street. And he was pulling in as I pulled in with my art car. And I didn't talk to him. I was there to talk to the other guy we're talking about. And I saw him, but I didn't talk to him.
Okay, so he was probably walking in to his home or something. You probably don't want to bother them, I imagine.
It's not like I'm going to go around stalking people. You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal to me. I met them every day. I had a car with my name on it. Everybody knew who I was. They still do.
Do you still drive around the car with your name on it?
Yes.
Has that led to any possible roles or anyone getting interest in your acting career?
Everybody likes what I do. But as far as offers coming in, no, they only care about the people at the top.
I mean,
don't you understand? The business is for a money machine.
Well,
Even the actors that are doing it, they're doing it for the money.
Well, I think they do it for the money, but they also do it because they're pedophiles, a lot of them.
Why are you talking about that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like
that
these rings.
That is not true. No, you're wrong. Why would you even mention that?
I've read about...
Have you heard about one celebrity that likes little girls?
No, I've read about it.
The Do you know who Corey Feldman is?
Do you know who Corey Feldman is?
I actually met him.
He did a whole movie.
He was a drug addict.
Well, he did a whole movie about these pedophile rings. He said he was groomed.
Look, a lot of people, look, if you don't know, just look at Trump. People lie about everything just to get publicity.
Now, I never hang out
with a drug crowd, never hang out with pedophiles. I never hang out with alcoholics. I'm a pretty simple guy and a very positive guy. And I always try to give good advice to people. I don't lie to people and I don't cheat. And I don't want to get in the business that way.
Did you ever hang out with Roman Polanski?
And I don't think with sexual deviants. What?
Did you ever hang out with Roman Polanski?
I wonder if Roman would put you in.
Why would I? He was before my time.
He's still making films.
And he's made some incredible movies.
He was before my time and he lives in Europe. He got kicked out of the country.
Well, I think he was.
He got kicked out of the country in the 50s.
So when you were living here,
that is true.
Do you remember the Sharon Tate murders?
I arrived in 1977, about the time that he left Hollywood because he got convicted of something at a party and with Jack Nicholson, and he left. That's all I know. He was gone when I came around.
So what about this? Let me just, I'm just trying to like spitball some ideas.
And by
here.
The way, I'm going to support other people by saying, if you're going to put out there that you think everybody's a pedophile in Hollywood, that's a bunch of bullshit. Don't even spread that rumor. It's
I don't
not
think
true.
Everybody
there
is.
There might be a few people.
There
that's
are
not
a few.
True. You're lying.
And there are what? A few. Corey Feldman did a whole movie about this. Corey Haim also
maybe
molested.
Maybe five.
Mel Gibson.
That you hear about. Why are you throwing that out there? That has nothing to do with our conversation.
Well, I'm just telling you that there are certain rings out there that control Hollywood.
What are you trying to dig up dirt about people that's not true?
No, I'm saying that there's greed. There's greed in Hollywood. Don't you agree with me there's greed?
Yeah, but my friend, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you don't seem to have a real understanding of the real Hollywood. I've talked to 100 people, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you don't know the real Hollywood the way it is, and it's not all bad, believe me.
But you were just saying that it is bad.
It doesn't play fair. What?
But you were just saying that it is bad, and it's not fair to you.
There's stuff that needs to be changed, okay? And the drug addiction thing isn't as big as it used to be. You know, people have gotten themselves straightened out. I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore.
Okay, let's shift gears here.
People are trying to lead a pretty decent life. What?
Let's shift gears here. What about the adult film industry?
Please.
What about the adult film industry?
I'm not in that business, okay? I don't want to be. I never wanted to be.
Oh, did you ever know anyone that was in that business?
I didn't want to.
How could you?
Why are you talking about? Pervert? Are you into that yourself? Do you watch porn and all that?
Of course, everyone watches porn.
Well, I don't.
Well, you don't
Ever?
Have a computer.
You know, my friend, listen, I lead a spiritual life and I'm a good person and I go to church on Sunday, and it sounds like you need to do that and get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, I'm just talking to you. I'm talking to you about the industry. The way Hollywood works. And I don't mean to hurt your feelings.
Why do you keep talking about porn? Porn has nothing to do with my industry. I'm in SAG and AFTRA since 1977. And a paid up member. I don't associate with these kind of people. Okay, porn industry has nothing to do with the real Hollywood.
Well, have you ever met any
of those
people?
And look at what happened to Ron Jeremy. Ron Jeremy, he's in prison for the rest of his life.
I heard he was like a rapist or something. Did you ever encounter Ron Jeremy or have him in one of your movies?
Let me ask you a question. Would you get your mind, young lady, would you tell him to get his mind out of the gutter?
What?
Why
yes,
do you
David.
Keep talking
I'm
trash?
Talking about a legitimate industry. That's
no, you're talking about shit that doesn't matter. You're talking to a professional man who's spent his whole life in Hollywood and met everybody and has really created a legacy for myself, and you want to talk about low-life crap.
Well, there's been films about this world, about this industry, and that's what I'm saying.
Why are you talking about this? It has nothing to do with me, okay? Am I clear?
Other side of Hollywood. I was showing you that Hollywood does have this deviant existence.
Maybe you should interview a porn star or something and ask them.
I don't think I'd want to. You should get your mind out of the gutter. I'm not going to have porn stars on my show. I have legitimate professionals.
Why are you asking me? I have no knowledge of the adult entertainment industry. I never had an interest. I don't even really think those are films. I don't think you could call yourself an actor or a filmmaker if you're making porn.
Well, I mean, I think some of those people have crossed over into acting, though, because
just
that's
like
their
Ron
connection.
Ron Jeremy was in legitimate movies.
Ron Jeremy was in actual
films. Very rarely. Even Ron Jeremy, when I saw him at Ralph's Market, he said, "Oh, I'm trying to go legit." I started laughing and go, you'll never go legit.
How would that guy go legit?
What was he buying at Ralph's?
He made a big mistake in his life.
He really
did.
He made several big mistakes
in his life.
Wow.
Let me say something about me. I'm not Mr. Rich and famous, but I own my own property. I've made 27 movies. I don't owe anybody a penny. I've never stolen from anyone. I've never cheated anyone. I've always been a good person, and I always will be. And that's the way I'm going to live my life till the very end. And does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I heard that you're into animal rights and animal rights activism.
Yeah, I am.
So tell us about that. Let's talk about that.
Well, I really think, you know, all the shelters in L.A., there's seven of them. There's over 900 animals, dogs, cats, etc., that they're going to put to sleep, and that's people terrible. Need to give them homes. And when they do give them homes, they're not a toy. They need to adopt them and take them care of them like a child. I have one here. I've had one since I came to Hollywood. One good thing about an animal, if you take care of them, which they're not cheap, they'll be loyal to you.
What's
Just
your dog's
love them
name?
And treat them right and take them with you.
What's your dog's name?
This one is Daisy.
Daisy.
Very nice.
That's a great name for a dog.
I've had three different dogs, and they usually last about 10 years.
Oh, that's great, though. You're giving them a good home. And I think that's a more people should adopt animals. We're very strong animal rights proponents ourselves here on the show.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
We do. I always love them. We have cats, but I would love to have a dog one day.
Hey, cats are great.
I
had a girl
like
tonight.
Cats.
She's trying to find her cat, and she called me, and I called her. And I've been trying to help her find her cat in the neighborhood.
You ever been married, Dennis?
Yes, I have.
Oh, how long were you married
yes,
for?
Yes, I have.
For how long?
10 years.
Was your ex ever in any of your movies?
No. And another thing, being an unemployed actor most of the time, and not being able to put food on the table isn't a really good way to have a marriage.
Well, it definitely would put some strain on the relationship. Was she also an actor or actress?
It's like being a wannabe rock star. It's the same thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have goals, you have hopes, and sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. You never know, though. That's why I always think it's good to have like a fallback.
You know what? My motives when I first started about being a movie star and living in a mansion and having millions of dollars, my goals aren't like that anymore. I've changed. You know, they say you change as you get older, and my goals aren't the way they used to be. They're very simple and pure, and I really love making movies, and I challenge anyone. Most of these big shot actors in Hollywood that are on the red carpet and all that, and interviews on TV shows, why don't they learn to direct? Why don't they learn to produce? Why don't they learn to help other people? Why don't they do something positive with their money? I told Paris Hilton, why don't you take one of those hotels you have and let homeless people live there and help the homeless people? She's got hotels all over the world. She looked at me like I was crazy.
I call her Parasite.
See, that's
Hilton.
The thing about the world is people are too selfish.
It is. They're egomaniacs. All they care about is themselves. Paris Hilton's one of them. I call her Parasite Hilton for that reason.
Yeah, well, you got to understand, why do people worship people like that? They're a bunch of idiots.
I blame social media. That's what I blame. Yeah. I blame social media.
And by the way, you know Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Bragging about all her, now she's a billionaire. Why didn't she take some of that money and help the homeless people and do something good for charity?
I think she does.
Is she going to be another one that's just out for worship me?
I think she actually does give a lot to charity.
I don't think so.
She does. She's like one of...
A thousand here and a thousand there is not very much.
No, we're talking millions, Dennis.
She makes it a habit to give the local food banks while on road touring. So in July 2023, she donated to the Silicon Valley Food Bank, gave meals to over 500,000 people. She does give back.
Good for her.
Yeah, but she's a rarity, though. I think most of them don't.
She give away $500,000.
She does.
I think she did.
She'll be making money till the day she dies. She doesn't need all that money. She has enough money right now to live for the rest of her life.
Now, I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift.
I'm not going to sit here and get down on her. There's a lot of hundreds of famous people that have $600 million in the bank that don't want to do anything.
Well, I think it's a lot of these satanic heavy metal musicians. That they're the ones who make billions of dollars, and who knows what they do in their private lives.
No, you're putting it all on them. The movie business is the same.
There's
a lot of evil people in the movie industry.
Who's the evilest person you've ever met?
I'd say Mel Gibson.
What's that?
Who's the most evil person you've met in the industry, Dennis?
I really wouldn't know. I could only tell you what I see on TV, but this P. Diddy, he's a pretty bad one. And Harvey Weinstein, he's a real evil character. Look at what he did, lying to all these girls and having sex with them and never giving them a break. I mean, that's not right.
No, that isn't right.
You know, and now he's in prison trying to get out. That's not right. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're supposed to do.
But that's what makes the industry look evil.
Is that what you mean to be a nice person? Look, there's a lot of beautiful women and wonderful women that are very talented that come to this town and they want to get a fair break in the business. And they don't want to have sex with some gross producer to get a career. That's not fair. That's not right. Would you agree?
I agree with you. That's not the way you got to go about getting a part.
The casting couch.
Is that a true thing? Have you ever been on the casting couch?
Why would I? Why do you bring up all this stuff?
Well, you just said casting couch, so I'm asking you. Like, is that a real thing?
If I went to the casting couch and that was happening, I'd leave.
Oh, my.
Well, I agree with you.
You know, I want to tell you something, my friend. Your mind is in the gutter.
This is the first time I've ever heard
Why do you keep bringing up these perverted, deviant things?
You're the one who said casting couch.
I'm not in that world, my friend. Why do you keep bringing it up?
I would have brought it up if you didn't bring it up first.
I'm telling you, the girl. Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
This guy, he likes to talk about porn and sex perverts and all that. Who is this guy?
I'm very shocked.
All right, let's move on. Richard Gere, Gerbils. Did that happen?
Why are you talking about this?
You've been in the industry for a long time. You would know. You have insider knowledge.
Look, I think this guy you're having your show with, you should get rid of him. He's a deviant character.
He is.
I don't like you, man. Let me talk to this girl. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Am I going to cut off here? Listen, Dennis.
You're a weirdo.
You're the weirdo. You're the one who brought up casting couch.
No, I'm not a weirdo. I'm a really nice guy, but I don't. Everything that comes out of your mouth is perverted.
Well, you're the one who's twisting my words.
With perverts.
You're the one twisting my words.
And you talk about sex perversion and porn and kids and pedophiles.
You brought up cocaine.
And all that.
I'm
Why
not
are you talking,
talking
about
cocaine.
That?
Why did you bring it up
I've
in the first place?
I've never been around those. Excuse me, what?
Why did you bring it up in the first place? Let's move on.
Listen, I don't want to talk about why do you keep bringing it up? That's not my life. I'm not around those kind of people.
All right, I want to ask you one more question. What advice
Yeah.
Do you have the someone trying to make it in the industry?
Yes.
If a new person moves here, what do you think they need to do to get ahead in this industry?
They need to take some acting classes, maybe take some college classes, like they have some night school at UCLA. I've taken acting classes. Beware of people who are trying to steal your money, because people try to steal from actors and people who are trying to make it in Hollywood for pictures and resumes. Be very careful. And don't come here with $10 in your pocket. And the rent is really high here.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And I would say maybe try to do it part-time. But Hollywood isn't the way it used to be. And until the studios start trying to help the little guys as well and blowing all their money on the big shots in Hollywood, making billion-dollar movies, maybe things could change and get rid of Netflix. We really need to get rid of Netflix.
Stay away from Netflix.
For one.
They're the Antichrist. I've always
said this. Netflix needs to be abandoned.
They do.
Closed down.
Have you
seen their building on Sunset?
They have multiple buildings. They're an eyesore. It's an eyesore. I've seen it. It ruins the
boulevard. Well, that greed needs to be eliminated. Those are evil people right there. I'm telling you, I hope they hear about it. Those people are evil. They need to be closed that business down.
I've never been a fan.
Listen, let me say one last thing.
Okay.
If I ever, I don't have an axe to grind, but if I ever had a fair chance to make it in Hollywood, I'd be a big star right now. A lot of people told me that. But Hollywood is full of a lot of selfish people that live in Malibu or Beverly Hills.
Yes.
And they don't care about anybody but themselves.
It's a shadowy cabal of elites.
And what's that girl that used to be in Friends? What's her name?
The short girl that used to be
with Brad Pitt.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh yeah, the transsexual.
Jennifer Aniston. Yes.
Why do you keep saying transsexual? She's not a transsexual.
Is she?
Look at
Jennifer
her.
Aniston.
Yes, Jennifer Maniston.
She's a nice person.
Jennifer Maniston.
She's a nice person. Yes. Anyway, she said in an interview real loud, it was really funny. She said, "Don't kid yourself. I'm in this for the money."
I believe that.
Well, good for her.
Okay, I've never met her.
She's got all the money.
Well, yeah.
No, not good for her.
Well, maybe she used that money, but maybe she used that money to transition.
You know, Van Gogh? Van Gogh died. He never sold the painting his whole life. So
because
how about just being
good.
An artist and living the life of an artist? And I think people should respect artists and if freedom with respect and help them out. And don't take advantage or cheat people or make fun of them or give people a fair chance. That's part of it. If people come to Hollywood to make it, the industry has to change and be fair for people and start looking at the newcomers and helping them out. And change the whole system.
And lock up the pedophiles. You don't need them.
Absolutely.
All right. On that note,
Dennis. Do you keep talking about that?
I'm just saying we got to clean up Hollywood. I agree with you.
But it has nothing to do with pedophiles.
They're out
pedophiles
there.
Well, Harvey Weinstein made some of the most successful movies that have generated billions of dollars.
But was he a pedophile?
He was having sex with underage girls.
Okay. I guess he was then.
Yeah.
Who?
Harvey Weinstein. You know Harvey Weinstein was having sex with underage girls,
taking advantage of them.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And same with P. Diddy.
I guess it never really hit. I guess it never hurt Quentin Tarantino, even though in interviews he said, "I knew he was doing all this stuff, but I couldn't change it, and he was helping me a lot, so I didn't want to say anything."
And unfortunately, that happens a lot. It does. You know, people turn the other cheek because money's involved.
Just because somebody is going around doing illegal things doesn't mean you got to do it.
That's good advice.
You know, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't do illegal things and I don't live an immoral lifestyle and I'm not a drug addict and I'm not an alcoholic and I try to be around nice people. And I'm going to tell you, too, I do meet some real crazy people in this town. And I try to get them away from them as fast as possible, because they'll tell you something about crazy people. You're never going to change them.
There's a lot of characters
get away from
this
them
town,
as fast
that's
as
for sure. Oh, yeah. Well, Dennis, let us plug your website so people can learn more about you. DennisWoodruff.com.
Yeah,
right?
Google Dennis Woodruff. Google Dennis Woodruff. You'll see all kinds of stuff. And see DennisWoodruff.com and DennisWoodruffShow.com. All 27 of my movies.
So if you Google Dennis Woodruff, you're going to find out a lot of information about Dennis. Dennis, thanks for being on the show.
And you're not going to find anything bad.
Oh, it sounds like you're only going to find good things.
That's one thing about the internet. If you're doing bad things, people are going to find out about it. Exactly.
You can never erase it.
There's nothing bad about me because I've never done anything wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a very moral, upstanding person, and we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us here on the show. And people, go check out Dennis's website.
Well, let me tell everybody out there, if you see me, I'd love to talk to you, but it's very superficial, and I think I deserve a fair break in this town, which I've never had.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see. We'll tag you in our posts on Instagram, and maybe that will be your break, Dennis. We'll find out.
We'll see. Call me in 6 months. Bye.
All right. Take Bye. Care. So as I was saying, that guy is fucking ridiculous.
I'm just, so, all right, let me also preface this. Well, it's not a preface because it's after the fact. The next day after we had recorded the interview, so we recorded the interview on like a Thursday night after you'd finished work, I'd finished work. And the next day, Friday, me and Poppy went to El Coyote because she's here visiting from New York. There's no Mexican food in New York, so we've been loading up on it. We're there, we're having an early dinner, having a great time, drinking some fucking strawberry frozen margaritas, which I can highly recommend, El Coyote. And then next thing I do, I look at my phone. 10 missed phone calls.
Why was he calling you?
Every day I was getting 10 missed phone calls from this man. And he was chewing me out, whatever. So I ran outside the restaurant and I just ring him and he's like being a dick. And then I just sent him.
Will you call him back?
No, that was the day before. But the next Friday, I just sent him a message saying like, you're abusing my number. You need to stop this. I will message you when the episode comes out, but you're done. Stop fucking ringing me.
You should just send him a picture of Goatsy. Like at that point, fuck that guy. Like he was so fucking annoying. I mean, you can kind of hear in the interview just me and Kate laughing because it got to the point where it's like, we're going to just take the piss because this guy is such an asshole.
And I'd obviously spent a week dealing with this character.
But utter lack of self-awareness. It's like, dude, you want to know why you haven't made in the industry? You want to know why you haven't been able to network? You want to know why?
Because
people,
of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your fucking attitude. It's your demeanor. You're a fucking prick. Self-righteous cunt. And that's why no one wants to fucking deal with you.
Exactly.
It's like some of these people that get so irate about Netflix not picking up their movies. Or, I've never made it and I've been here 30 years. It's like, you want to know why? Maybe you ever think about it? You suck.
Yeah, and you're just not good enough.
Yeah, you're just not that good.
I do agree. Like, definitely having been in the music world, that there is a level of, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But you also got to pay your dues. You've also got to be fucking nice. You got to tell another punk who tells another punk. Do you know what I mean? His attitude, just the whole week of dealing with him.
I think his attitude of just like, I've been doing it for so long, promoting myself. You think I'd just be discovered at this point? It's like, dude, no.
It doesn't matter if you're the greatest actor in the world. Like, obviously, Nicolas Cage is the greatest actor in the world. But if you...
But there's some nepotism with him.
Yeah, there's nepotism in Nicolas Cage. But Nicolas Cage is also a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he's a great...
And he's
one
a great guy who pays it back.
One of the best. Yeah, and he's a great actor. That's one thing that I found hilarious about this guy. Not only was he just bitter, bitching about his own lack of a career, but then he started attacking Taylor Swift, who I'm not even a fan of.
Both of us were defending Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and I don't even know much about her music, but I do know she's a philanthropist. I do know she gives back quite a bit of money. I've read about it. And so when I brought that up, he was just like, he was going off saying like, this one makes so much money and doesn't give anything back. It's like, actually she does.
It's also, she's famous for giving back. Like, I'm not even a Taylor Swift fan, but I know that, you know, she pays her fucking truck drivers like 10 times what they're worth just because she can.
Yeah, her whole crew. And, like, I mean,
it's not even hard to like pick up this knowledge.
She's incredibly generous. I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I respect her as an artist. I think it's great what she does and inspires a lot of people. But she does give back, and it's been proven. And you have assholes like this dude who are just so bitter about it. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You can be bitter about your career. You can actually go and do something or move on and do something else.
Yeah. I mean, like a little bit. I'm definitely a person who's like, I get inspired by hatred. Like hatred inspires me to do things. But he's just so unself-aware, and he's just kind of like, he can say he's a nice person who's a Christian and goes to church.
Yeah,
but he's
not acting Christian. Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, he's not.
Typically, we don't slag off the people we interview, but I think he deserves it.
This is a
first. I'm going to put the outtake of us trying to explain to him how to call in to the Zoom, our Zoom meeting. I'm going to put that outtake on Patreon because it is hilarious. Like, me and Kate,
so
at one point, he's just like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, I'm laughing through the pain, Dennis.
He is so mad at both of us. And yeah, I would also like, again, just to say, I had a week of having to talk to this man, with him talking to me, like the way he was talking to every day for half an hour. I'm just like, I'm sorry you feel that way, Dennis.
Yeah, at that point, just fucking be like, dude, eat a dick, and we'll interview someone else. Like, seriously, like that it was not
Next
worth
time,
it.
I
was
know.
Not worth it. But the fact of the matter is, this guy took us 30 minutes. He did figure it out. We did get him to call into the show.
That's a prop to you, Dennis. You did figure it
he
out.
He did figure it out. But Steel can do it without a problem. Bob Hickman, schizophrenic, can do it. Raga, the Icelandic witch. She could do it without a problem from fucking Iceland.
I love you. You're comparing Steele to like all these people.
Well, he's up there.
Let's get
anyway,
Steele on the show soon.
Anyway, go check out the outtakes on Patreon. It's hilarious. People, this is episode 944 here. Sick and Wrong. Got a couple phone calls to get to. 323-522-4032. But first, here's a quick message from Adam and Eve.
Hey, guys. It's me, Stephen. I'm a huge fan of your show. Thanks to your awesome coupon code, Diddle, I can buy myself loads of good sex toys. Since both of my wives died, and my Lou Gehrig's disease got pretty bad, let's just say things in the bedroom got pretty boring. But thanks to AdamandEve.com and coupon code Diddle, D-I-D-D-L-E, I am now a new man. Thanks.
Your charging power battery, and now we're full of energy.
So we got a couple phone calls here to get to. The first one came in from a guy who's obsessed with your feet.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I don't mind women's feet, but it's not my fetish. Like, I don't get off sucking toes. And
I
just
have nice
like,
feet, though.
You do have nice feet, but I couldn't imagine, like I would never go to an OnlyFans website just to look at a girl's feet.
Like, men
whereas dudes do, they fetishize feet. They fetishize every part of a woman's body.
Oh, totally. And men who like feet are like a special breed, but I do have very nice feet. I have a lovely arch because I did ballet for so long. So like, that's one thing I will say about myself. I have lovely feet.
Well, this guy is obsessed with your toes.
Wow.
Hey, Kate. While I do like seeing your toe tips poking out of the front of those sexy come fuck me shoes and your feet in hose on Instagram, I think it would be much sexier to see your feet in all their glorious, gorgeous, naked glory. On a separate note, this is for all the men. The day you are certain you don't want children is the day you should schedule your vasectomy. This includes you, Dee. It makes for comedy gold if a woman ever tries the old pregnancy scare to rope you into a relationship. Anyway, lick my balls.
How many times has that happened to you? I take it you probably had a vasectomy, but how many times has it happened with the girls like, I think I'm pregnant, and you're like, well, that's impossible.
Yeah, good luck, baby. I'm Jaffa.
It's not mine.
Well, for those who, for this gentleman and other gentlemen callers in the know, me and Claudia are actually talking about setting up a joint OnlyFans. We're not going to be licking each other's box, all right?
But what? What's the point then?
No, because me and Claudia are both fine northern slags who don't need to like lick each other's boxes. We'll just like show our feet and shit. Maybe I'll pour some iron brew.
Wait, you're going to show shit?
No. No, that was a cool deal.
You had me excited for a second.
Oh, what? Well, like what? Do you want me and Claudia to do rate my poo? Is that what you want?
That's what I'm saying. I was telling you guys, you need to branch out. Just like a couple pictures of your foot is so pedestrian. There's so many women on OnlyFans that do that. You need to have a gimmick. You need to do something. Like I would say maybe something new with farts. It's always very popular.
Yeah, but me and Claudia have already vetoed that because me and Claudia both aren't gassy people. So it's never going to happen.
She
but
said she's belchy, though. Like she burps.
But she's like not as burpy still. Like she's not, she couldn't just burp on command. Like honestly, D, if both of us were burpy, gassy people, both of us would be on OnlyFans. Doing it.
Lighting your farts on fire?
Lighting farts, selling them in a jar. Both of us would do that. But
you need to have like some kind of gimmick to pull the people in.
Yeah. Like,
what's going to separate you? What's going to separate the wheat from the chaff? That's what I want to know.
Because we're both really sexy northern slags. I don't know.
You're going to have to work on this.
I know we're going to have to work on it. We're in discussion. We're table-topping ideas.
I thought I gave you some ideas.
Your idea was horrible.
What was it?
It was something to do involving like strap-ons and
that's what it was. I think this would be a great thing, and I guarantee a lot of our listeners out there, especially this guy calling about your toes, would be interested in this. I was thinking you guys would wear like lingerie, mm-hmm. put on a strap-on, and fuck different kinds of fruit.
Yeah, I'm not into that because I just
fruit fuckers.
Look, I have nothing but respect for sex fruit? Workers who can do stuff like that, but I just like it's
you're not naked.
Me.
You're not naked though.
I don't like. I'm just a Victorian. I don't want to be like. Have you pictures
could,
of me with a strap
you could
on
also on. Say things that dudes say when they're fucking like.
You like that, babe?
You like that? Yeah. Cantaloupe.
I've got fucking herpes now, you bitch. Yeah, you're fucking soaking wet, honey. I
feel
sound like
that.
I'm JoJo.
8 inches of pleasure.
I've never once heard that off a man.
No, I've ever. Well, not many of us are 8 inches, okay? Don't rub it in.
I like this guy, though. I haven't done any pictures that have featured my toes in a while. But you know what? Next time to this dude, next time I do a set of pictures that my toes are in, it's for him.
Well, I think he should call back with some suggestions or ideas about how you and Claudia can differentiate yourself from all the other OnlyFans.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear that. But also, this guy needs to realize that me and Claudia live on separate continents. So
you can film your own content.
Well, yeah, that's what we would do. It would be like one of us would do another thing, one of us do the other.
So are you going to switch off the fruit? Like, is she going to do cantaloupes 1 week and you're going to do...
I don't even think cantaloupes exist in Britain. So
they don't have cantaloupes in Britain?
Well, what even is that a melon?
Guava.
You could do a pineapple. Do you think we're made of money to be affording these exotic fruits?
Well, I'm just saying, there's pineapple. You guys have pineapple?
Also fucking expensive. Britain's the land of apples. So you can maybe do some good apples.
Okay, apples works. Maybe we should look into other things, like a shepherd's pie.
Fuck it. No, because
she can fuck English cuisine.
This
you
is
can fuck
splashing
American
territory
cuisine.
Now, which is also its own fetish, also invented by the British. Like now we're just what? We're splashers. Like that's okay, but it's kind of boring.
You
and
guys
also,
need some ideas.
It's I've always just while we're on the subject of splashing, I've always wondered it must block so many like bathtubs.
Or drains.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got me gnarly. Anyway, moving on. We got another call from a guy. Who has been listening for a while, but first time he's ever called in. His name's Dan. He's from Aurora, Illinois.
Love it.
He sent in a very long call, so I'm not going to play. I'm only going to play the first part, about 3 minutes. Dan, no offense. We only play 3 minutes on the main show, but I'm going to play the rest of your call, the remainder, on Patreon next week because he calls in with multiple stories. I'm breaking it up a little bit. But anyway, he writes, hey guys, wanted to send you an audio file since I knew I'd be well over 3 minutes. I've got a ton of stories I'd like to share. Congrats on being newlyweds. Well, it's been a few years, but you two make a great couple, especially at matching wits. Your guys' comedy has me cracking up on the daily, so thanks for that. I'm getting married myself for the first time on June 1st. And I'm super excited. Mazel tov to you, Dan.
Oh, yes, congratulations. That's like you're on the downward slope
now. And your wife
to
be.
Yeah.
I'm going to Hawaii for the first time and staying at Waikola Village after we hit Honolulu. I'm fucking stoked. Keep it sick and wrong.
Oh, what a sweet app.
So thank you, Dan. We're going to play this first part of your call.
What's up, DNK? Dan the Man here calling you from Aurora, Illinois. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Well, not that long. I mean, I heard about you from Deadbug about 3 years ago, and ever since then I've been listening here and there. I've been able to listen to a lot of the shows lately at work, and I've been getting caught up, and there was a few topics you hit on that really struck a chord with me, and I wanted to give you a call and just comment on them. So, first of all, those stories with Atheist Preacher about the dead bodies, those are...
He must have been listening to the Patreon episode.
Oh, yes, Dan's a patron. Thank you, Dan, for basically the show only exists because of Patreon.
Yeah, he supports the show. We do appreciate that. But we had AP, Atheist Preacher, on talking about picking up bodies and some of the horror stories that he faced.
I already know Dan's got good taste, though, because he's a Deadbug fan. Like, Deadbug's fucking awesome. I'm still, Deadbug's patron and everything. I haven't had as much time to, watch Deadbug as I used to, but Deadbug fucking rocks.
Yeah,
he's a legend.
I do like that guy.
Yeah.
Just unheard of. I have a couple that aren't nearly as hardcore, but they are kind of interesting nonetheless. I used to work with a guy who didn't collect the bodies, but they did do cleanup after, and he told a story that they went to a house and the guy died in a chair, like a black office chair type thing he was sitting in, and you know it had fluid all over around the floor where the chair was. But
this guy must have lived alone.
Well, yeah, because nobody's.
Because no one's going to go in and check in on him. If he's already melting,
yeah,
and he's probably been there for a little while.
Oh, all over the chair, and just they had, you know, and it's always the story about the smell and all that. But he said that they went down, you know, they took the chair out to the side of the curb and had to come in and collect some more stuff. And when they came back out, someone had garbage picked the chair.
Oh, man. Someone took the chair. You know what's funny? We went and got these bookshelves, which I think we talked about it on the Patreon.
Yeah.
We got these bookshelves from this old man that died in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
But he was some kind of weird computer science professor, mathematician. Yeah. So he had all these books on math, as well as books on Hitler, which I took a bunch
of. The two
of,
go hand in hand.
Yeah, books on Hitler and Nazism. But anyway, we got these bookshelves. But while we were there, the landlord was there, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, he died in France, and he had no next of kin, and so the house has been sealed up until now. But now we're just trying to liquidate his shit to get some money back. They hadn't been able to get rent for that place in 8 months or something. But so." We're in there, and they were like, "You can just take whatever you want." So we were taking the Nazi books and all that. But he had a coffee mug that said "L.A. Corner" on it.
Back when they had a gift shop,
yeah.
I know a few people have been like, "I should go here," but the gift shop, the L.A. the County Museum, doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they gave us this dead guy's coffee mug, and I'm all weirded out by it. I'm weirded out by it. It's weird.
Literally, everything I own is from a dead person.
I know, but I'm not drinking out of the stuff you own like that.
Like, I've bought bed sheets out of charity shops that have probably come from dead people. It doesn't
matter.
You
know,
just
for
wash
sure.
Them. Yeah, but you just wash them.
But I don't know. There's something about that cup that I find really just disconcerting.
You know what I thought was funny is Poppy was saying that, so LA has a big curbside culture where you just put your shit out on the curbside
and
we people
just dump
will
it.
Scavenge it.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't do that in New York because everything has bed bugs.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Bed bugs, it's like an epidemic there. It's terrible.
So I imagine buying stuff off Facebook Marketplace.
I would be nervous.
Whereas we're just like, fuck it, we'll go get it. It won't have termites. It's fine.
Yeah, I would be nervous. But here, I mean, people just put a mattress outside, or I could see someone putting the fucking desk chair outside. But this is covered in fucking dead guy slime.
And I'm just like, oh, gosh, that is just awful. So, yeah, someone probably got that thing home and was like, what's that? What's that smell? Oh, man. Then
it's like, who wants an office chair that bad? They're not that expensive. You're going to take
it's
one.
Free.
Yeah, but it's like covered in slime.
It might have been cleanish.
If there was like
I'm
some
so
kind
British,
of,
I would take it.
Yeah, if there's like some unidentifiable liquid covering this thing, are you going to take it home?
Not if there's a liquid, but maybe just. Where were we at
so
on
gross.
Continent? We were on continent. Was it in Germany where the guy was in the square? And he was on an office
chair. Oh,
on
the office chair. He was scooting around.
He was
yeah,
in
that
Germany.
Was in Cologne. That,
that was
Cologne.
Hilarious. So maybe a homeless person took this chair and they had a good time and they made like a normie person laugh because they're a homeless person on an office chair, which is ironic when you think about it because they're not working. See?
Yeah.
See? It's free comedy.
My ex was a nurse and she had a couple funny stories where one was this person passed. And kind of like a big obese type person. And they had these hoses like connected in them. I think one of them, she said, was like in the stomach or something like that. And she went to pull the hose out or whatever. And like this fluid came squirting out of the hole and like squirted her in the face. And she started like she screeched and her partner started laughing. And then a different one was a live guy again at the hospital, and this dude was living. It was like a homeless guy. And they had, you know, really unkept, you know, long hair, like homeless dude. And they had to take off his shirt for whatever reason. Ugh. And when they took off his shirt, he, like, when he lifted up one of his arms, like a grasshopper type bug flew out from under his armpit and flew into her hair.
No, what the hell?
Oh boy, yeah, those were two funny stories. I thought I'd share with you.
This guy's got underarm crickets.
That's so gross. But why does it have to go in your hair? That's like my biggest fear is getting insects in my hair and then not knowing where they are.
I've always thought if I was ever like a mortician or something, like. When you're down in like the nether regions, clipping their toenails or whatever, I would full on push the stomach to see if I could force out a fart.
Oh, what? Into your colleague who's
yeah, wouldn't
there.
You?
No, because they might fucking force out some fucking internal guts onto your colleague.
Even funnier.
Yeah, see, this is why you shouldn't be a mortician.
And then you could reminisce about this when you're doing happy hour.
That's true. I must say, I love the Midwestern accent. The Midwestern accent is a lot like the Northern British accent because you guys all elongate your vowels. So I really like it.
I guess they kind of do. I don't really
it
know if
like
I
am.
Still have a Midwestern
no,
accent.
No, you do.
Some words I do.
Yeah, some words yeah. You definitely do.
But this guy, he's from Aurora, Illinois. He's definitely
isn't Aurora, Illinois where Roseanne
Midwestern.
Is
where what?
Where's Roseanne set? I feel like it's in a town like Aurora, Illinois.
Shit, I don't even know where I
fucking love that show.
I was never a fan, but
why was it did it hit too close to home?
I just thought it was boring.
What? Roseanne's great.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of sitcoms.
All right,
and that one in particular.
Ahead of the times. We're like, I can't do. Were you like a 10-year-old? You're like, I can't do this canned laughter.
I liked Elf.
Yes,
I
know you liked Alf.
Small
and that's
Wonder.
Horrible that you liked Alf.
But like a
you only liked Small
a
Wonder.
Blue
when you
collar
had
family and like their trials and tribulations. I could care less. There's no retarded people. Like Life Goes On. That was it wasn't a sitcom. It was more of a drama. But
which one's Life Goes On?
It's the one with Corky.
Oh,
the Down
okay,
Syndrome Kid.
One,
that was a show I would watch, but I didn't even watch that much. I back then
you were
mostly,
above it. Okay, fine.
No, I mean,
well, I loved
I was
Roseanne.
Just bored
Roseanne
of it.
Was great.
Simpsons. I prefer to watch that.
Well, that's a fucking show about a middle class family.
Yeah, but it's
not
way
even middle
better.
Class.
Better than fucking Roseanne.
Roseanne was great.
Do you watch the remake?
No, and like I'm obviously not gonna watch a remake, and I don't think she's that batshit crazy. Like, just let her have her show. What did she even say that was so bad? Where they were like, "We can't let you back." Like, you know,
did
a man might
something?
Become president who's a criminal. Like,
I thought she said
really
something like it was something. Like politically incorrect, but I don't remember
which
if it,
we're fans
I just
of
don't
this
remember
show.
Though if it was like an anti-Semitic comment.
No, because she's Romanian, and I think her mother escaped the Holocaust, and that's how they came to Britain.
No, you know what it was?
It was about monkeys.
No, it was comparing Michelle Obama to Planet of the Apes.
That's funny.
I can understand getting canceled for that. Anyway, Dan, thanks for calling in, and we're going to play the rest of your call on a second show next week.
Dan rocks.
People, you can call the Sticker On Hotline, 323-522-4032, or just record an MP3 and send it to stickeronpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, big ups to all the listeners who support us on Patreon and Apple Podcasts. We do appreciate you helping us keep it sick and wrong every week. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. And if you want to buy some merch, head on over to the T Public store, stickeronpodcast.com/shop, and click on the picture of the Pope. I think they do have a sale going on right now.
There is a sale going on. I was on the website the other day.
Yeah. Well, go check it out. Finally, here's Sick and Wrong Song of the Week. Wanted to get something that was more Los Angeles centric, like a song that kind of defines what it's like trying to make it in this town.
Yes, this town. Let's just say it's somebody who's made more of an impact worldwide than Dennis Woodruff ever will.
Not according to him. Yeah. We're going to end the show here with the Go-Go's doing This Town. Great song about L.A.
My favorite.
From their 1981 record, Beauty and the Beat. We'll be back next week with episode 945. Till then, take it sleazy.
Look, I'm just saying, if you're single, you should give the autistic person a chance. Because you know how there's once you go black, you never go back? Well, now there's once you've gone retarded, you wish that's where you've started.